Welcome to the Narrow Pod Between Pages, where we read Patrick Rothfuss's The Narrow Road Between Desires, page by page by day. This is page 173. It hung above the boy's head, bright as iron. It rested like a crown, like horns. Of course. Bast laughed then. It burst from him, wild and delighted. He laughed again. It sounded like children playing in the water, like bells and birds, like someone breaking chains. He grinned at Reich, and though he did not know it, in that moment Bast looked every bit the demon. Bast held out his hand, his smile wide and white, the mad laughter bubbling up around the edges of his voice. Good, he said, a note of triumph ringing there. Give me the needle. Reich hesitated. You said it just needed... Bast laughed again. He knew he shouldn't, but there were times when it was either laugh or break wide open because he was too full. It would have been like holding back a sneeze. Sometimes the world was so perfectly revealed to be a joke, a picture, and a puzzle all at once. Laughter was the true applause you offered to the world for being beautiful. And if there was some small applause still left for him, then that was only fair. It wasn't nothing, managing to find your way into alignment with the perfect seam of the end of the page. I'm Bill.
I'm Joy.
And I'm Vin. It's a wild page.
Laughter was the true applause you offered to the world for being beautiful. That's fucking awesome.
The best sentence on here.
It was like, it sounded like children playing in the water, like bells and birds, like someone breaking chains. All right, in Canis?
Yeah. Oh.
I don't understand what the joke is.
And he looks like a demon. He takes the needle.
So the joke then is that on the previous page, everything aligned above Reich's head. So the stump of the lightning tree was just behind his head. And just at the top of the stump of the lightning tree was the crescent moon that faces up.
So the synchronicity of that is making Bast delighted.
Yes, exactly.
But it must have a meaning that he seems to grasp that we, the reader, aren't clear on.
Well, it rested like a crown, like horns.
Bast looked like a demon in the moment.
He looks like a demon in his fit laughter. Of laughter, right? He's presumably dropping his glamoury because he's not thinking about it. He's so caught up in the moment.
There's definitely echoes of like an Adem thing here with the not holding in laughter.
Oh, yeah. That's good. Mm-hmm.
Good point.
Although and I was... Go ahead.
I was just going to point out that he scares Reich.
Totally. You know,
like when he asks for the needle after wildly laughing at him, I guess Reich is hesitant to be like, what? You just said you need, like, maybe you're not going to stab me with it, kind of.
Yeah, I wonder, presumably Bast is going to add some additional actual magic to what's happening here. Mm-hmm. He's carried away.
Well, Reich is, you said it just needed, to me it implies Reich is hesitant to give Bast over the needle after seeing him laugh like a maniac. And maybe fearful that he might use it in a way that Reich wouldn't like. That's all.
Yeah. I mean, it's ominous if this person who used to be friendly with you is now laughing like a demon, looking like a demon, and asking for the needle you just jabbed yourself with. Patrick, in the chat, supposes that maybe Reich is worried he won't be able to return the needle if Bast takes it, because it must be borrowed.
Oh, that's right.
I just think maybe Reich isn't caught up to what's happening yet, because Bast is giving him nothing but a kind of terrifying look.
I'm not caught up to what's happening. I mean, you know, I understand why they're doing what they're doing, but it seems like maybe something else may be occurring as well.
Well, I think at first Bast thought he was just jerking Rake around, but now maybe he's realized that there's something more at play here, and so he's going with it.
Yeah. So yeah. The crown and the horns all mean something to Bast, and the synchronicity between the moon and Rake and the tree.
Yes, for sure. And I think maybe, you know, he's, not to be too on the nose, but he's like threaded the needle on the narrow road between desires. And now everything has aligned to work out in a way where he can just make everything happen.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And that's like, you know, the magic in the world or whatever. That's, which is why he's laughing. So everything's working out.
I buy that.
I like that. What do you think? We haven't really talked about it. What would the crown or horns be simultaneously symbolic of?
I mean, we're definitely getting like Incanus vibes with the chain breaking, and we've definitely had a few like broken chain things in this novella that we haven't had before. So that's really interesting.
Didn't Incanus have horns? I don't remember.
I'm not sure if we know that.
Yeah, maybe so.
I think we get like Incanus mask descriptions, but I don't know if we actually get descriptions of Incanus.
There might be one during the sequence when Teilu's chasing him down through all the towns and eventually catches him, but I don't recall.
Yeah, neither do I.
Yeah.
If it's there, I can't remember it.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was looking up. I thought there was some illustration with the person that saves him as Incanus, and I thought I remembered that having horns. Sorry, saves Quoth.
Right, I think the mask.
Yeah, the mask has horns.
Yeah.
In this illustration.
They both do.
That's such a good costume.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I already have a cloak. I should just get a mask made like that and dress up as Incanus.
on Midwinter's Day.
Why not?
It's funny, when I was trying to process this as I was reading it out loud, all of these metaphors and similes all are very weighty. You know, there's like, you know, thing one and two and three, and they all kind of modify and add more gravity. And then it goes and talks about he knew he shouldn't laugh, but there were times when it was either laugh or break wide open because he was too full. And then I was expecting another thing to like add gravity, and it would have been like holding back a sneeze, and that seems sort of anticlimactic to me. It speaks to how unnatural it is to hold it back, but
yeah, I feel like that was like a very strong feeling to me. Like,
yeah,
you feel like your eyes are going to come out of your head if you try to stop yourself from sneezing.
Oh, and it's so dissatisfying. Holding back a sneeze, I hate it.
Yeah, I don't know. I was expecting a like heavier metaphor of some nature, like you know, trying to stop a river from flowing or something like with more sort of gravity to it. But
right,
I understand why saying. Y'all see that.
I see what you're saying.
I still want, I know you brought it up at the very beginning, but I just love that line. Laughter was the true applause you offered to the world for being beautiful. That sounds like one of those lines that Roth just writes that really ring true to me.
I was looking for the line where he talks about the needle, because what Rake is hesitating about, because earlier Rake has agreed to, like, basically, you know, you say jump, I say how high. And now he's actually protesting something that Bast is telling him to do, because Bast seems crazy in this moment.
Oh, yeah. I see.
But I haven't been able to find it. Does anybody know where that happens?
Where Bast is giving him the direction, you do everything I say,
basically? I think it's right around page 99, right by that picture. Maybe after it.
Oh, actually, it might be 164. Because he says it only works for one person. And so This is the op-ed. It's a go thither charm. You're going to prick your finger, get a drop of your blood on it, and that will seal it. It will make things go away. So Rike is hesitating because it can only work for one person.
Yeah.
Right. This ritual is to transfer the power of the charm from him to his mother.
If you believe in magic, yes.
Right.
If you believe in magic.
If you don't believe all of this is farce.
I think it's turned from theater to something else.
I'm with you. I think I brought this up a couple months ago about the charm that Kvothe hands the little girl, Nell, right, or Tess or whatever her name is, and how he kind of stumbles into maybe having done something powerful. I think this feels very similar.
Here, here.
I am out of things.
Well, so I have a question then. What would you offer laughter for the world being so beautiful about? Did I phrase that correctly?
You mean, are you asking us as individuals, or are you?
Yeah, you as Vin. What do you encounter in the world that would have you offer laughter as applause?
Oh man,
because of its beauty.
There's so much. Usually it's the sky. Okay. I love it. I love the colors in the sky and the clouds.
That's cool.
This past weekend, I went horseback riding in the beach. And there was just like a moment where we were like galloping down the beach and the light was shining off the ocean. And like the seagulls all took off at the same time. It was just like, you know, like one of those moments. I think that was the last time I just like really laughed like that, where it was just like pure
like a demon
joy. Yeah, like a demon. I actually like stuck one arm out in the air like a little kid with their arm out the window, you know,
like in a movie.
Yeah, and like, yeah, I mean, you know, it like actually pulled the laughter out of all of us. We were all laughing like crazy people, and it was really
cool.
How
about you, Bill?
The most recent thing was we were just visiting my in-laws, and they have a big, they have a pond with fish in it that they stock. And my son got a fish on the line and it bent the rod over. And as it was getting closer, the kind of fish was a bluegill, and he was catching the largest bluegill I've ever seen in my life. And he was jumping up and down. I know that sounds like a fish story, but it's genuine. Like, it really was the biggest one I've ever seen. And, he was jumping up and down and so excited and so proud of himself. And I just had to, I couldn't help it. I was just laughing because I was so pumped for him. And
that's
it was so cool because we've been trying all day and all that stuff. So
that's
mine.
That's so sweet.
Well, should we see what happens on the next page?
Yeah. Listener, we hope that you will laugh for the wonder of the world on tomorrow's narrow page.
Now page.
Page. Ha ha.